Off the Ball Daily,
a home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
And the song that she was singing was Ride On. And the reason why we picked that song, Ride On, because horses, I love horses. Also, it's my background of horses, and when my granddad passed away, that was his funeral song.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
World Cup Daily on Off the Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Hello and welcome along to Friday's World Cup Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, the FAI confirmed the decision to move Ireland's Nations League game with Israel to a neutral venue and behind closed doors. Canada and the US get their World Cup campaigns underway today, and the League of Ireland is back, as is Damien Duff, after it was confirmed he'll join Brentford as an assistant manager to Keith Andrews. But first, the FAI has confirmed Ireland's home Nations League game against Israel on the 4th of October will take place at a neutral venue. The FAI says UEFA approved a request to host the game at a neutral venue and behind closed doors. The game was due to be held at the Aviva Stadium. The two sides are also scheduled to play at a neutral venue for Israel's home match, which is on the 27th of September. In terms of the game on the 4th of October, there's still no indication of what country that game will be played in. Pressure has grown in Ireland for a boycott of the games due to the ongoing conflict in Gaza. A Stop the Game campaign was launched by the group Irish Support for Palestine, and the friendly against Qatar in Dublin last month was disrupted twice when tennis balls featuring the Palestine flag were thrown onto the pitch. Damien Duff has joined Brentford as an assistant manager ahead of next season. The former Shelburne boss will work with his former Ireland international teammate Keith Andrews, who finished ninth with Brentford in the Premier League last season. Duff's been out of coaching since last June when he left Shells, who he won the league with in 2024. Duff and Andrews worked together in the international setup when Stephen Kenny was Ireland manager. South Korea came from a goal down to beat the Czech Republic 2-1 in Guadalajara in the early hours of the morning. The Czechs, who ended Ireland's World Cup hopes in March, went ahead early in the second half with a headed goal from Ladislav Krejci. South Korea equalised 8 minutes later, and Oh Hyung-yeon got the winner 10 minutes from time to secure all 3 points. The other game in Group A was the first match of this year's World Cup. Mexico kicked off the tournament in superb fashion, beating South Africa 2-0 at the iconic Azteca Stadium. Julian Quiñones, born in Colombia but now represents Mexico, scored the first goal of the World Cup. And Raul Jimenez, who rejoined Wolves this week, got the second in his first ever start in a World Cup game. It's his fourth World Cup at Mexico. South Africa finished the game at 9 men, Mexico with 10. Shakira opened the tournament alongside other acts such as Burna Boy, J Balvin and Danny Ocean. The Czechs will play South Africa next in Atlanta on Thursday. Mexico's next game is against South Korea in Guadalajara in the early hours of next Friday. On last night's news round, Eve Conway, Ben Symes and Dion Fanning were alongside Owen Sheehan. The subject of what World Cup you remember came up, which made Dion feel slightly old. Ben said he could recall the 1974 World Cup, despite the fact he's only in his 20s.
With the age ranges in studio, I think we should do like our first World Cup memories. I mean, not sure, Dion, can I ask you what your first World Cup memory
is? 1982.
Okay. Were you there for the first game? Not there for the first game, but like, is your memory, does it include the very first game? Is it kind of like a bursting into the senses moment?
What was the first game in that World Cup? I don't remember watching it.
Spain versus
Belgium.
But would it have been Spain? Because I think, didn't it only start doing the host in 2006?
Could have been champions.
So it was Argentina then.
It was actually Italy versus Poland, the nil-all draw in Vigo.
Right.
I tell a lie. It was the champions. It was Argentina who started the World Cup. They were beaten by Belgium 1-0.
Argentina-Belgium, yeah.
In Barcelona.
Isn't that the game of the Maradona, the famous Maradona picture comes from? It's not actually from 86. I think it's from 82, isn't it? The picture of Maradona facing all the defenders.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
After the free kick.
Yeah, yeah.
First World Cup, Eve?
2010 is, wow, I think, the final. Because I would have been 8 years old and I remember watching the final and my whole family was in the sitting room. And I think we were shouting for Spain.
You're the Vuvuzela generation.
Yeah, yeah.
You just thought football was always going to be like this.
Yeah, exactly. It's all been downhill from there.
Yeah. Ben?
Weirdly, like very, very first World Cup memory is from a World Cup long before I was born, and it's the 1974 World Cup final, which I was shown on repeat.
How old are you?
I was shown on repeat as a child, Neeskens and Cruyff, and like, this is the best team to never win the World Cup. Shown that like repeatedly by my old fella. But the very first live World Cup is 2006.
Okay.
And I like was alive for 2002, but I don't remember it unfortunately at all. I remember 2006. My standard memory for 2006 is like the final, and I remember sitting on the floor in my granddad's house when Zidane got sent off. And when you're that age, you know, you're just obsessed, infatuated with the best players in the world, and to see that happen to Zidane, I remember being heartbroken because you knew it was his last game, and you didn't really quite grasp that this is the last time you're going to see him. You just knew he was going away somewhere after this.
That was very early to have your heart broken by international football.
Yeah, I love international football though. That's I suppose that was it, wasn't it? It was set in from an early age to be there for these moments.
The weird thing for me is that like the first kind of World Cup game I remember watching is Ireland against Cameroon in 2002. But just have these weird memories of like what happened the day before and France being beaten by Senegal. Definitely didn't watch that game because we were all at school, or maybe it was just before we started school that Friday morning. But I'm not mistaken saying Ireland was the second game of that World Cup, the first game of day two. So like the shockwaves had been sent out from the France-Senegal game, and just I remember being vaguely aware of it despite having not watched the kick of that game. But yeah, that was it. That was the high bar. Ireland in a World Cup, thought it was going to be always
like
the case.
That's available to listen back to now for full in your OTB daily podcast feed for free. Dion has also covered many major tournaments, and here he recalls the Battle of Marseille at the Euros in 2016 when some Russian and English football fans clashed.
Sunday, I think, was Monday was the game. Sunday was the day of the full-scale riot in Marseille. We had gone out to kind of an Irish bar just outside Marseille. I was staying in a hotel about 50 kilometres outside Marseille. It was the only place I could find, with a journalist, a news reporter from The Observer. And he was driving. I didn't drive at the time. So he was driving. So I was dependent on him for a lift. So we had gone out to the Irish bar on the Sunday night, and it was all kicking off in Marseille. I was like, whew, good to be out here. And he's like, I've got to go in there. I said, okay, yeah, you've got to come with me. Like, if you want to get back to your hotel, you've got to go with me. So we had to leave the safety of the bar and drive right into the middle of the riot. So we had this little white Peugeot, I remember. And every time, like, I didn't know this guy, he's a very nice guy, but every time I thought, like, this will do. So we'll just try and go a bit further. And we literally drove down a side street beside the riot. Like, and he just said, this is perfect. Let's get out.
And how does one report on a riot for The Observer? Is he there with a notebook and trench coat?
He just disappeared. And I was like, well, okay, well, I'll wander around. And
you surely got great copy out of that.
But yeah, but you at the same time, you're also, it's people, you're being at, like, it was people, it was just, it was a riot. Like, and there wasn't really any, you know, I didn't have a, you know, there was no, I had no press vest. I was just like somebody in the middle of a riot who looked like, I didn't look like an English hooligan, but I looked like, you know, I looked more like an English person than somebody from Marseille. And so I just wandered around the riot for a while.
Got bored.
And decided I'd try and make my way back to the Irish bar, which was quite scary too, because there was a lot of trouble that night. And so wandering, I don't know what happened. What happened to that guy?
And after South Africa's poor showing against Mexico last night, there was some conversation on whether Ireland would have done well in Group A if they had qualified instead of the Czechs.
We would have topped this group.
I know. It's really hard. You know, I like, it's no, it's just it is tough. thinking, you know, the parallel world we could be in right now, Guadalajara. Looking forward to Mexico. It's like, I was very strong on this idea that, like, everything that happened in the autumn and November was just, you know, enjoy it for what it was. It didn't matter what happened. didn't matter if we didn't get to the World Cup at the end of it. And I still hold on to that. But today there were some moments when the game in Prague, you know, flashed before my eyes, 2-0 up. We know, I don't need to go through what happened, but we know what happened. And it's hard right now.
Mm-hmm. The one saving grace is that South Korea might look very good tonight, and they would have been possibly one of the better teams in this group, let's say. Still think going to Mexico might have been tough, but there's really no getting over the fact that South Africa are making me feel really bad about not being at this World Cup.
Yeah, exactly. And then getting, you know, the possibility of getting through and playing Mexico in the final game when Mexico would have qualified. And, you know, who knows what, you know, like, so, and we might need a point or whatever to go through, or I don't know why I'm even doing permutations for...
I've dragged you down this path.
And if you want to hear any of our football coverage back in full, you can do so now in your OTB football podcast feed. Become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. The next game at the World Cup is this evening and involves another one of the co-hosts. Canada face Bosnia-Herzegovina in Toronto, and that game kicks off at 8 o'clock. And the last of the co-hosts, USA, will be in action in the early hours of Friday morning when they face Paraguay in LA. And World Cup Daily and Off the Ball is brought to you by Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026. Smell your best when you look your worst.
The great thing about Atlas Butler is they do it all. Heating, cooling, plumbing. Look, I'm busy with work. I don't have time to wait around or deal with lots of people. One company, one call, and they do it all. Wonder if they'll clean out my inbox. Seriously, offer that service. Please.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Now, as the League of Ireland comes back tonight, one player who won't be involved is Shamrock Rovers centre-half Pico Lopez. Lopez is part of the Cape Verde squad, set to play European champion Spain on Monday evening at 5 o'clock. And the Crumlin man says he feels like he's representing two countries at this World Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I don't like take this like sentiment lightly. Like, I do feel like I'm representing two countries at this World Cup. Like, and that's because as far I felt like, I think it's insane, the send-off I got from the road I grew up on. Like, that's something that'll stick with me forever. As I say, growing up on that road where I played football and played World Cups. And for every sort of like New Year's, birthdays, Christmas, Halloween, everyone was out on the street. And that's something that sort of died away as we started to get a bit older. Like, so to sort of bring it back to that sort of basis of everyone out there. And that was for me. That was to send me off just to wish me well. Like, that really sticks with me. Like, so I have that support from families and friends from Ireland where I live, and for a country that I'm representing that World Cup in Cape Verde. It really does like give you that lift and the same motivation to perform.
Shamrock Rovers, without Pico Lopez in their squad, hold a 6-point lead at the top of the Premier Division on the return of the League of Ireland tonight. They travel to 2024 champions Shelburne. Rovers dropped points in the weeks before the break with losses against Sligo Rovers and Dundalk, but then finished with two wins before the break, both Dublin derbies against Bohemians and St. Pat's. Boss Stephen Bradley says they're expecting another tough game tonight.
Tough game, I think, when you look at the two previous games, they've been good games. They're a good team, Shells, they've got good players. But we're going into it in a really good place on the back of two Dublin derbies, and yeah, we're really looking forward to it.
You'll be able to hear live and exclusive commentary of that game and Off the Ball on News Talk and the Go Loud app. Our coverage starts at 7 o'clock. Kickoff is 8 o'clock. Stephen Doyle will be joined in the commentary box by Shane Keegan. Elsewhere tonight, Derry City welcome Bohemians to Celtic Park. Tiernan Lynch's side have continued their struggles in recent months and have just one win in their last eight. He says that second place Bows will be tough opposition for his side.
Yeah, obviously it was hopefully the break came at a good time for us. And we got to spend a little bit of time away, albeit the boys had their own training programme and they did work very hard even during that period, and great credit to them for that. But as you say, we're back at it now and looking forward to Friday night.
Elsewhere tonight, Galway United face Dundalk. That game is at Turner's Cross. The bottom two meet at the RFC, with Waterford at home to Sligo Rovers, and St Pat's face Drogheda United at Richmond Park. During the week, former US, Liverpool, Aston Villa, Blackburn and Tottenham goalkeeper Brad Friedel was on with Owen Sheehan and recalled his days spent training at the Inchicore Club.
I incorrectly introduced you as a United States and Premier League legend. What I should have introduced you as is a St. Patrick's Athletic legend.
I had signed for quite a few clubs in the Premier League and I was having work permit problems. I had gone on an appeal for my work permit, and I needed to fly out of the United Kingdom, but I didn't want to fly far away. So my agent had a friend at the time who was friends with the director at St. Pat's. So I went and I trained with St. Pat's for I think probably about 10 days or 2 weeks, and I stayed there, and they were very welcoming to me, and what was, as you can imagine, was a really good crack for a couple of weeks.
So what was it about Brian Kerr? How come he is the greatest influence in you becoming a great Premier League goalkeeper?
We'll give all the credit to him. I'm very thankful to them because I was able to keep my fitness up and train with them. And I was at the stadium. We trained in a park. It was all over the place, but it was fun. It was good.
Also a busy night in the First Division. UCD travel to Finn Harps, Wexford host leaders Cork City, Treaty United face Bray Wanderers at home, and Athlone Town make the journey to Kerry. And legendary commentator George Hamilton joined myself and Enda Call on a very special episode of You Had to Be There on Off the Ball Breakfast this week, ahead of the start of the World Cup. And here Hamilton explains the art of silence when it comes to commentating on the biggest moments in sport.
There's the art of the commentator. Jimmy McGee, not afraid of a silence.
Mm.
You know, it's a television commentary. You can see what's happening. And the words he chose, the two words he chose and said three times, just summed it up absolutely. And in a nutshell, that's what TV commentary is about. And you listen to commentators now and they're telling you about guys' backgrounds and where they came from.
What they had for breakfast.
It drives me bonkers at
like
times.
A pre-written line that they knew.
Yeah. For goodness sake, shut up. I want to watch the match.
Well, the crossover of radio, you have to describe absolutely everything.
Yes.
So then, I did it the other way. I did TV stuff, and I was told the same as just the pictures are there. They can see it. You don't need to talk.
I think too many commentators are scared of silence. Television commentators are afraid of a silence because they think they'd be judged on not having added enough, but. I mean, I rest my case with Jimmy McGee's commentary there.
Where do you fall on the debate of commentators giving their own opinions on things? Because we were actually having this debate in the office where, like a lot of modern commentators, it's almost like a podcast at times between himself and the co-commentator, whereas if you listen back to some of the older style, it's very much calling what you see on the pitch as opposed to what you think the player should be doing on the pitch.
Well, my view was always, and would remain so, that if I've got a former player beside me, there is no way I'm going to trump his knowledge of what is actually happening. I may have an idea, but I always tried to couch what I would say in terms that would complement what the co-commentator might be about to say, but I would never have gone down the line of telling Ray Houghton that that's what he should have done to invite Ray to come back and say, you're an idiot, you know, because that's basically what it's about. That's why you're there. You're there because you have a facility to do different class. And he's there, or she's there, to add what they know from having been down there facing the different class.
Yeah.
So what value is the commentator's notion? And we're back to the, for goodness sake, shut up. You know?
And if you want to listen back to that in full, you can do so now in your OTB Daily and Football podcast feed. That's about all we have time for on today's World Cup Daily. I'm Phil Egan, and I'll be back with more next week.
World Cup Daily on Off the Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.